From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Now, the story of an Afghan woman and her 10 children, refugees from the war with the Soviet Union in the early 80s. Arefa Maksudi's husband was taken away by Soviet troops and never heard from again. She smuggled her children out of Afghanistan to India and then to the United States. For the last 12 years, Maksudi has raised her children here. We sent several reporters across the country to talk to different members of the family. NPR's Andrea Seabrook has the first of four reports on a single mother and her 10 kids uprooted and then replanted in America.
Since they made it to the United States, Arefa Maksudi and her children have lived in an apartment in a suburb of Washington, D.C. When all 10 of her children lived at home, they slept three or four to a bedroom. Now all but two are gone, and Arefa has scraped a little money together for new white sofas. Arefa sits on the couch wearing dark slacks and a sweater. A pink gauzy scarf covers her head. Dozens of mismatched picture frames sit on the table, pictures of her children.
This is my son, Saeed. He's in the Texas. This is my son, my youngest son, Hamza. He's right now at the college. This is my daughter, Masuma. This is my another daughter, Rumina. She's in the San Diego. Her husband is doctor, and she's study business.
These are the trophies of Arefa Maksudi's story, the photographs of 9 educated and successful children. But her story begins in Afghanistan in the 40s and 50s when Arefa was growing up. Her father worked in the government and did well. They valued work and education. All of her brothers went to college. Arefa married a man who ran a pharmaceutical business, and they moved into a big house in a wealthy neighborhood of Kabul. At 17, Arefa had her first child. At 41, she had her 10th and last child. Just 2 years later, when her youngest child was 2, Soviet troops invaded Afghanistan. The men in her family started to disappear, taken away in the night, and never heard from again.
In my family, about 5 people killed. Every night come to our house and pick up, and nobody knows where it is. Nobody knows. About 5 or 6 people.
Because her family had money, they targeted Arefa's husband.
They tortured my husband, but one day they took them and we didn't know about him. Where is he? No, I didn't see the body. My children, they was too young. After that, they took my everything.
Arefa moved the children into an apartment and slowly, over a year, sold everything she had. She split the 10 kids into pairs, each posing as a different family. Then, staggered over 2 weeks, she sent her children to India. She slipped out with 2 of the girls and waited in India for the family to gather.
For 15 days, I don't eat anything. No sleep, no eat. I was so happy when I found all of my children in India. After 15 days, I eat and drink. I pray to God. Thanks God. I'm so happy.
It took a year living in India to be designated refugees by the United Nations. Arefa then went straight to the U.S. Embassy. This time, all 11 of them boarded a plane together for the United States. Once in the U.S., her children started school again, began to learn some English. Arefa says every day she told her children 2 things, study and be honest.
Honest is good. When you work at that place, you be honest and smart. Be smart for the work. Every time I'm talking with my children, I told them.
Arefa made sure her children learned English, but there was no time for her to study. Just 3 months after they got to the U.S., Arefa's oldest daughter, Halida, was diagnosed with liver cancer. Doctors performed an emergency transplant, and Halida was in and out of a coma. Arefa was forced to leave her other children alone for weeks at a time while she tended to Halida. In a new home in a new country, the other nine children slept together in one room. Arefa brought her sick daughter home after 6 months in the hospital.
For 6 years, she was like that. Every time he goes to the doctor, they told him we were cancer grow back.
How old was she?
When she died, 22 years old.
Her nine children continued in school and then college. Arefa cooked and did laundry. With every little action, she says, she thanked God. She prayed at home and went to the mosque on Fridays. As she tried to pass on her beliefs, she watched her children become more American every year.
My children, I want to be Muslim. But if they married with an American or another Spanish, maybe Korean, it's okay. It is the faith life in America. I pray every time for them.
Arefa Maksoudi strikes a balance between the past and the present, between her Afghan tradition and American culture. But her children say the two worlds don't always mix so easily. Each of her nine children has grown up with a different take on religion, love, work, and Afghanistan. But they all recognize the strength of the woman who molded their lives. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News.
I'm Mandeli Del Barco in Fremont, California, 30 miles south of San Francisco.
As I walk down the street, seems everyone I meet gives me a friendly hello.
Arefa Maksoudi's middle child listens to music while she works in the laboratory of Genos Spectra, a new biotech company here in Silicon Valley. Using the latest technology, Butul Maksoudi helps create and analyze DNA chips. She's only 26 years old, but already a player in the famed Human Genome Project.
The whole point of this kind of work is to contribute to some sort of a clue to the genetic diseases.
Butul says what motivated her to become a biologist, chemist, and all-around physical scientist was the hope of one day finding a cure for cancer, something that could have saved her older sister, Halida.
You know, I saw my sister go through a horrible time. Every day she was fighting to have one extra day of, you know, being on this earth. It was extremely tough. It was extremely tough to see her through. And when I would come from college to visit, you know, I would be the weak one because I would start crying, and she would actually hold me and be like, be strong, I'm going to be better, so no stuff.
Halida's death was hard on everyone in the family, says Butul, especially since the Maksoudis had just arrived in this country. There was also a new language to learn, new cultures and customs. Like her brothers and sisters, Butul studied hard, memorizing textbooks, entering science fairs, even doing research for NASA while she was still in high school. Education always came first for the family.
I wasn't really a regular teenager, if you will. Never going after the school to the parties and stuff at all. I was too busy catching up with academics.
In the process of becoming an American, Butul also became known as the rebellious one of the Maksoudi clan.
It's very not traditional for an Afghan girl to be single and live outside of the family. It's a taboo, actually. And what I'm doing is the same as any other American independent woman who goes out there, works, and decides to live on their own. My mom had a tough time with it, and I totally understand. She was never expecting that I would pack my things and say that I can live on my own and be okay.
Butul says it was her four brothers who backed her up.
When I decided to move out to the West, it was my brothers that stood up and made my mom realize that that was my dream, and I'm not doing anything wrong by going out. And my brother said that, well, if she thinks that it's a better future out there for her, then let her go. I really am very proud of my brothers for being so open-minded and really so pro-feminist.
Butul has become what she calls an outdoorsy California girl, biking to and from work 12 miles every day on her 10-speed. She takes long hikes in Yosemite, goes rock climbing, and snowboards on the weekends with her friends. It's here in California that Batul has found her paradise.
The moment I entered Fremont, it just felt like home. It was like as if I belonged to the city.
That may be because Fremont is also home to the largest Afghan-American community in the country. It's known as Little Kabul, filled with Afghan restaurants and businesses. And so while Batul has become very much an American, here in Fremont she can also retain her identity as an Afghan immigrant. She collects Afghan art and helped produce a local radio show for Afghan teens to help them connect with their roots and traditions. Like them, she straddles two cultures. At a restaurant in Little Kabul, Batul orders her favorite Afghan dishes. And she talks about deciding to make a life for herself, in many ways different from her mother's. But she also sees a lot of similarities.
Yeah, Mom sacrificed everything for us. You know, she brought 10 children to this country without my father. She is my role model in a lot of ways, and when I see, she's very independent. And I see her surviving. And I'm hoping that I will continue to live like she is.
Batul Maksudi remains a very faithful Afghan daughter, as well as a free American woman. In this country, she's found a way to be both. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News, Fremont, California.
This is Janet Heimlich in Fort Hood, Texas. On a military practice field on the base here, a group of about 20 soldiers are testing their skills driving tanks. Watching the exercises closely is their commander, First Lieutenant Saeed Maksudi.
My job as a supervisor is to make sure I come down here, everything's going all right. If they need anything, I got to coordinate for it and see how my guys are doing, how their training is going, assist their training, and how we can improve their training.
Saeed strongly believes in doing his job well because he strongly believes in defending the United States.
To me, America, you'd probably say, is heaven on earth, God's country. Comes America, and you know, you got freedom of press, you got separation of church and state, you got freedom of religion. And those are the things you don't get in a lot of countries in the world.
For example, his home country. Saeed Maksudi remembers life in Afghanistan. He was 10 when his family fled.
All I can remember is fighting. I mean, he'd be sitting at home one day and having lunch or coming back from school and a bomb would go off somewhere where he'd be sleeping at night. You know, there'd be mortars landing or artillery or rockets would be coming into the city. And as a kid, those are not good memories. I remember going to bed every night and saying a little prayer. And that was because I didn't know if I was going to see the next flight.
But when Saeed came to the United States, everything was different. He felt safe going to school and playing soccer with his friends. Saeed says one reason he joined the Army was to pay back America for the opportunity he was given. Today, he says, he identifies more with being an American than an Afghan. He loves hot dogs, drives a pickup truck, and as a self-described liberal Muslim, celebrates Christmas with his friends. Inside his small two-bedroom apartment, there's a large American flag hanging on the wall. Saeed's view of marriage also rings American.
I think you should get married to somebody, and as long as you love them, and somebody who cares about you. And you should marry somebody who you can picture yourself growing old with and sitting on the porch, drinking lemonade, and still laughing at each other's jokes.
Saeed has been dating an American woman for over a year. But all this does not sit well with Saeed's mother. He says she'd prefer he settle down with an Afghan woman. And Saeed's mother objects to him being in the Army. He says she remembers what the military was like in Afghanistan.
You know, I mean, a guy could walk out and go maybe to the grocery store, and the Army would pick him up, look at his ID, they'd be like, all right, you're 16, 17, you're good to go. Get up there in the truck, go through the training. And then they wouldn't see him until he was dead and his dead body came back. And she's got something like that in the back of her mind that she's always scared that, you know, I might go off to war or some conflict and then my dead body would come back. And I mean, you know, she tried to get us out of Afghanistan, get us out of the way of harm, make sure we live.
Back on the practice field, 24-year-old Saeed Maksudi advises his soldiers, who will soon be graded on their shooting skills.
You go down range, relax. Mm-hmm. This one. They keep a clear head, move out there, and engage them targets. It's easy to find. Once you relax, keep a clear head, concentrate on what you're doing, be good to go. You know, you go.
Not surprisingly, Saeed strongly supports the war in Afghanistan, even though he still has relatives living there.
Two uncles that they're still in Afghanistan, and hopefully they're okay. I'm sure they're fine. It could have happened in another country. We could have gone down to any other country in the world, and if they were harboring fugitives or terrorists, and we had to take this action, you know, against them, I'd be all about it. Even in Afghanistan, I'm here in the U.S., you know, I've sworn to protect this country and lead the soldiers into battle.
But for Saeed, patriotism is about more than just being an officer in the U.S. Army.
You know, I put on the uniform, I look in the mirror, you know, check myself, make sure I'm all good to go. You know, the uniform's looking clean, but that feeling has always been me every day. And I look at the American flag every day at 6:30 in the morning when the whole base is saluting the flag. To me, that's a great feeling.
And unlike some of his siblings, Saeed Maksudi has left his Afghan roots almost completely behind. For him, what seems most important is being an American. For NPR News, I'm Janet Heimlich at Fort Hood, Texas.
This is Andrea Seabrook in Annandale, Virginia. The apartment where the Maksudi children grew up is in a quiet suburb of Washington, D.C. Short brick buildings are surrounded by trees. A shopping center nearby has a supermarket, a Latin American grocery, and a CVS drugstore where Maksuda Maksudi, the youngest child, works.
CVS Pharmacy, can I help you?
Maksuda is just 20 years old. She calls this the family CVS because three of her sisters and one brother worked here. She's a bright, young college junior standing behind the pharmacy counter talking about what comes after college.
I'm doing international politics as an undergrad, and then I'm going to go on to law school and do international law. Kind of scary, you know? It's like if I don't go to law school, then I'll have to be an adult next year. You know, I actually get like a regular job, and oh my God, I can't even think about that. Like, I don't know. I'm not ready to, like, you know, just be out in the working force. So that's why I think that's why I want to go to law school.
What with her extraordinary family history, it's not surprising she wants to study international law. But Maksuda also says it's her home here in this development that shaped her as well. The people here are Korean, Indian, Afghan, Latin American. Maksudi and her friend Chang, the pharmacist, say they've always felt like average Americans.
That's the thing. Is
everybody's
like,
a foreigner.
Everyone's a foreigner, so you really can't, like, I always think about, like, what it must have been like for all the people when they first came here, like, and, you know, everyone was a foreigner. That helps because when people ask me, oh, you know, has anyone ever said anything to you because of where you come from or anything? Like, no, because, you know, this is the area I live in.
Maksuda was only two when her family fled Afghanistan, too young to remember much about it.
I consider myself more American than I do Afghan, just because I know more history, more U.S. history, and I love U.S. history. I love the Civil War. I've taken classes on the Civil War. I've read books about the Civil War. Like, I'm a big Civil War buff. I love Gone with the Wind. I've basically been raised here. I've gone through the school systems. I've lived here, like, basically all my life.
Maksuda is closing the CVS pharmacy for the night. She leaves the store and begins the short walk home. She talks about celebrating the end of Ramadan with her mother.
We celebrate Eid after fasting, and we observe Ramadan. And see, doesn't that look so pretty? All the Christmas lights.
Maksuda is attracted to more than the decorations. She says when she leaves home, she wants to celebrate Christmas.
And I just love Christmas time. Like, everywhere looks so pretty and people are happier. It's, I don't know, it's something that I've always wanted to do but just couldn't do. I mean, I think, you know, it's been commercialized enough that there's really, like, no religious, like, aspect to it anymore. And second of all, like, Jesus Christ is an accepted prophet for us also, so it's the way I look at it. So see, I've rationalized this to fit how I'm going to use it in my life.
Maksuda doesn't date. She's accepted her mother's rule that young Muslim girls shouldn't see men casually. When it's time to marry, Maksuda says, someone else is supposed to find a husband for her. As she enters her apartment building, she says she hasn't ruled that out yet, but she's skeptical.
I don't think I'm going to marry a complete stranger. I think I'd have to know, like, who I'm getting married to. You know, before I get married, just to see, you know, if there's the compatibility or not. Because what happens is in our culture, you can't really divorce either. So if you're married to the wrong guy, you're stuck for life.
Perhaps more than her siblings, the youngest daughter, Maksuda, walks the line between traditional Afghan expectations and her American experience. Back outside, as she says goodbye, she explains this dilemma.
It's difficult. It's very difficult because, I don't know, just like so far as where I've like lived at home, there's just a lot of pressure to conform to like the very traditional values that my mom has, or, you know, traditional views that she has. But then having grown up here, you know, and in school you're someone else, you know, you're with your friends, you're carefree, and you know, you're just like any other teen. And then you come home and, you know, you have to be a little bit more responsible, and you think about, you know, what's going on at home. And if you go out somewhere with my mom and you have to act a certain way around Afghans, you know, you can't really be yourself.
Maksuda will live at home with her mother for a few more years, but then she'll have to decide which path her life will take. No matter what she chooses, the Maksudi family roots will be in two cultures, perhaps the most American of identities. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News.